Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of No Meat Athlete Radio. It is co-host Doug here with a few quick announcements. First of all, a big welcome to all the new subscribers of the podcast, and thanks to everyone who has taken the time to review the show in iTunes. Today's five-star shoutouts go to Taco Rinty and Jay Rungirl. Rate the show and receive a shout-out by searching for No Meat Athlete Radio in the iTunes store and letting us know what you think. You probably know the routine by now, but don't forget to call in your questions to the NMA Radio hotline. We've loved receiving messages from a few of you already and look forward to keeping this new segment going into 2015. Call 951-NO-MEAT-1, that's 951-666-3281, and leave us a message with your question, and we'll pick a few to play and answer each week. All right, you ready, Matt?
All right, here we go.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, this is Hope.
This is Chris.
Hi, this is Katie from Washington, D.C., and you're listening to No Meat Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Frazier joined by Doug Hay for episode 50 of No Meat Athlete Radio. Doug Hay, that's 50 episodes. That's pretty good, huh?
That is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we picked it up a lot. I think, I don't know how many of those have been since this summer when we decided to start doing more, but it seems like we're doing much better now.
Yeah, absolutely. How many weeks are in a year?
52.
So this time next year we could be well over 100.
We could.
That would be pretty cool.
We could be 200.
We could be 200, and that would be great.
Probably not. So anyway, we got a question on the No Meat Athlete Radio listener hotline from Linda. Let's play it really quick for everybody.
Hi, Matt and Doug. This is Linda from Hoboken, New Jersey. Love the podcast and love this new feature of asking some questions. My question is, do you have any plans to write another book, Matt or Doug? And what would that be? Thanks so much, and keep doing what you do. I love it. Have a good day. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Linda. We appreciate the question and the kind words. As for the answer to your question, the answer for me is sort of. We have one that's in the works, but we haven't actually written anything for it yet. I'm working with a chef in Asheville, a friend of ours, on a proposal for a new book that'll be entirely a cookbook. There might be some writing and things about nutrition, but won't be anything like the previous book in terms of, you know, no running stuff, not nearly the depth of nutrition, just a cookbook. So that's in the earliest of stages. We've just written a proposal. We have an agent who we're working with, but that's it. But yeah, I mean, if things go well, I think it would hopefully be out near the end of 2015. But
cool.
I have no idea if it actually will.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And you know that, because we had you over for a little holiday get-together this past weekend, that we used some of the recipes from your other book. So I'm excited for another full No Meat Athlete.
Yeah, and one recipe at the party was even possibly good, because the person I was working with was there, and she made a Chipotle cheese dip thing that hopefully will be in the new book.
Which was delicious, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was great. Good party. Fun time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what we're going to talk about in this episode, I know we've talked a lot about the New Year's stuff, and our next episode with Courtney Carver is still a little bit New Year's-y, but I don't know, as we've said before, this time of year is fun. Me being a type goals, you know, self-improvement type person, I just always like this holiday and I like this time of year. So we're going to talk a little bit more about habits and things like that today. Before we do that, though, we didn't answer Doug. Do you have a new book, a second book coming out?
I don't have any plans for a book coming out, but I do have some really neat courses that will be coming out this spring on Rocket Runner. So not No Meat Athlete related, but trail and ultra running courses that are coming out. So I'm sure we'll mention that when they get a little closer to launch date.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will. All right. So we want to talk about habits today. For the No Meat Athlete Academy, I'm actually doing a special just me solo habits in depth, how to change and create habits, something that I think about a lot and have learned a lot about. But in this episode, which we won't go into nearly that kind of depth here, we just wanted to talk about some good new habits to think about, because this time of year, everyone's wondering about big changes. We've talked about goals plenty, and habits are, I don't know, I think habits are kind of a better New Year's resolution. We talked about this a little bit last time too, that you know, the idea of New Year's as the time for setting big goals, I think it's great. But I also think that too many people try to set a huge goal as a New Year's resolution, when if you're going to be doing the resolution thing where, you know, the last day of the year or the last 2 days of the year, you just decide you want to make some little change, I think changing a habit is sort of a much more realistic and likely to succeed thing than, right, than some big ambitious goal of yours. So we're just going to talk about some little habits that we like. And I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of them have kind of a twist to them. Like, neither of us is saying, we suggest you start running in 2015, or, like, you know, commit to a healthy eating plan. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's basic, obvious stuff. I think the stuff we have here is either kind of no extra effort to do some of it, or otherwise designed to, a lot of mine, the stuff that I thought of is stuff that's designed to help to increase your ability to create other habits. Like, right, stuff that will just sort of hopefully have a compound effect on your ability to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about habits that I would say is, when we talk, when people talk about goals, a lot of times they're, people set big goals and they get that and they set the exciting goals, but with a lot of them, the steps to get there aren't always obvious. Because that's after you have set goals in a goal setting plan and you write down your reasons for wanting those goals, which is really important. It often goes to, okay, now, like, lay out the plan for setting this, for achieving this goal. And in some cases, it's easy to do that. Like, if it's a marathon, that your goal, you could choose a race, you could choose a plan, you could know that on this certain day, I have to officially begin training, and in the weeks, you know, 6 weeks before that, I need to do this kind of ramp up that I'm going to do myself. In other cases, like, if you had the goal of, I want to start a business, or write a novel, a lot of times, like, people just don't know what the first step is, because it's not a known given thing. There isn't a first step. You just need to figure out what it is and you know, do what you can. So that's where I think habits are a really good first step, where if you don't really know what to start, where to start, think of, answer the question, what person do I need to become to do this? So, like, let's go back. If you were wanted to start a business, maybe you need to become more creative. Maybe you need to be more disciplined. Maybe you need to be more courageous, you know, things like that. And those you can usually address through some little habit change. So if it's a discipline issue, you can set a habit of saying, from, or knock out creativity and discipline. Say, I'm going to create the habit of every single day, I'm going to brainstorm business ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you were writing a novel, you may not know where you're going to begin, but you could at least create the writing habit of just, I'm going to start writing, and I don't know how I'm going to get from there to a novel or when this novel will begin to take shape, but basically becoming a writer is the first step to writing a novel.
Right.
So you just, that's what I think habits are great for. If you don't really know what the first step is, that's your first step, is develop this, a habit that helps you with that.
Do you remember the first time you purposely set or changed a habit?
I mean, I know the first time I deliberately did it, like, following certain rules.
What habit was that?
It was a meditation habit.
Okay.
So you just set me up to mention Leo already. This is... But, well, okay, there we go.
Well, we're 5 minutes in and...
Yeah, so fill Leo out the form that says we got, get it for, yep, this episode, check, our paperwork. Yep. Anyway, he has a program called Sea Change that is basically 1 month. Each month you change a habit. You work on a habit. And this is when his program launched. I think it was back in 2012. Might have even been the end of 2011. And it was meditation habit. And mm-hmm. I had tried meditating before. So, like, I had set out to change habits before, but never did I actually make it work until I did what he said, which was start for 2 minutes. Like, literally, I would set a timer for 2 minutes, go do meditation the way that he described, like, give me what steps to do for it, and alarm would go off in 2 minutes, and then I'd be done, and would check somewhere off that I had done it, and then do the same thing the next day. And then once I did that, I started listening to his advice about just change one habit at a time and start with these really small steps. And I created a string of habits. Like, I did, like, 10 or 12 of them in the next, I don't know, 8 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote that post on Nomad Athlete, right, about that. So that was the first time I, like, really thought about the process. But, I mean, certainly before that, I had said, I'm not going to... One time before that, like, when I was training to qualify for Boston, I said, I'm not going to drink any alcohol between now and when this next race is, which was 3 months. So, like, that was changing a habit, but
yeah,
wasn't really... I don't know. I didn't really go about it any special way. I just
decided not to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you?
I didn't ask that thinking of one, but I thinking back on it now, I guess the The first time I remember really trying to form a deliberate habit was trying to do push-ups in high school. I was like a senior in high school, and I wanted to do push-ups every single day. And there was some website that tracked it, and I don't even know if that site exists anymore, but it kind of gave you a little like training plan kind of thing. Okay, do 10 this week or today, and do that for 2 weeks, and then do 15 or whatever. And you built up, and you could track it, and that was like my first time ever trying to really set a daily habit, a daily routine that, you know, was with the intention to benefit in some way to get better. So that was, it lasted for a while, probably lasted 8 months to a year or something like that, that I was doing them every day. But other than that, no, I mean, I can't think of when the very first time I tried to do something like that was.
Yeah. It's, I feel like when when I look back at childhood, I feel like that would have been such a valuable thing to have, like just to have that mindset that said, just to have someone sit you down and say, what you do every single day, even if it just takes you 5 minutes or 10 minutes every day, has such a huge impact on your life after 3 years of doing it.
Right.
Like it just dramatically changes who you are and what you are, what knowledge you have, what skills you have. And I never really got that. Like my parents were great about encouraging and all that stuff. But I think, I don't know, maybe people just don't think about it that much unless you want your kid to like become Tiger Woods or something. But like, I just wish I would have had a little bit more awareness of that. And not because like I played golf and it was always like you should practice more, you should do it. And all I wanted to go play, and I would go play a couple rounds some in the summer, like several rounds a day of golf. But when I look back, I wish I just would have said, instead of spending that 6 hours, whatever it took to do that, I'm going to take 2 hours and make it really focused practice, and I'm going to develop a habit of doing that every single day, no matter what.
Right.
I mean, I would have been so much better at it, and I mean a variety of other things besides golf. You know, but it's just like kids don't have that mindset. It's like practice is terrible.
Right.
You know, you don't want to do that.
It's boring.
Yeah. So maybe even if I had known about it and understood it, I still wouldn't have done it because it just...
Yeah. You just don't appreciate the bigger picture when you're young, but...
Right. So anyway, okay, let's get to it then. Let's just talk about a few different habits that, again, if it's someone, I think we've mentioned this already, but if you don't really know what you want to do this New Year's and you just want to, you're in the mood to make a change, these are things that we think are particularly good, have been good for us, or even if we haven't done them, but things that we seem like they would be really useful. So basically giving you a place to start. If you just don't know where to start, whether you have a certain change in mind, maybe this will trigger an idea for a habit that you can use as a first step for that change. Or if you don't even know what you want to change, but you know you're just not satisfied with whatever, where you are, then maybe this will be a jumping off point for creating change.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So the first thing to think about, there's something called, I wrote a post a while ago about habits, and it wasn't this one I just mentioned, but where I talked about the idea of having, I didn't call it an anchor habit, but someone after that did call it. My friend Brett Henley from, he has a podcast called The Mindful Creator, and he started calling this an anchor habit. And the idea is pick a habit that makes it more likely that, you know, come the end of the year, you're still focused on habits and you're still thinking about all this stuff. Because what happens all the time is that someone starts a habit, then a month later they forget about it, they're not doing it, whatever, and then they're done, and then that's it. Like, and then 12 months later they look back, realize they didn't get anywhere.
Right.
So if when you choose whatever your first habit is, kind of assuming that you're going to want to be making a bunch of changes, but that you understand you only want to make one change at a time. That's just kind of what the general good principle about creating new habits is. You don't want to try to change too much at once. Make that habit the single most important, the single habit that you think will most allow you to make other changes or have the biggest impact on your day and your mood out of all the things you can think of. So for me, when I think of anchor habit, I try to think of like, what is the thing that would create the most immediate excitement in my life right now? Like what would, whether it's excitement or just like fulfillment at the end of the day, where at the end of the day you could say, I did this thing for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, therefore I had a good day. Like therefore I was successful today and I grew in some way and I can't wait to do that again tomorrow. To me, that's what a really solid anchor habit is. Something that is just going to make you, you know, elevate your ability to be effective, basically, because you're happy and you're doing fun, exciting things. For me, for the longest time, it has been reading. just trying to read for, not trying, like really doing it, reading for a half hour a day, sometimes an hour a day. I used to do it first thing in the morning when I got up. Recently, I've done it more later in the day. But for me, because of the stuff I read is often the inspirational type of stuff or the self-improvement type stuff, then the very habit of reading keeps me immersed in that way of thinking and keeps me focused on this stuff. So for someone else, I could see that being meditation or practicing some sort of instrument, something that when you do it, it just sort of, I don't know, nurtures your soul. It just makes you feel like you're being the best version of you right now and just sort of keeps you on track.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you have one of those? Is there something that you do that for running maybe?
Yeah, I would say just running in general would be, getting out on the trail would be my anchor habit. And that, you know, and then because I do that, it totally, you know, right now I'm trying to do it late morning. So then by the afternoon, I'm totally refreshed and totally rejuvenated and ready to kind of tackle the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then if it's running that is the goal, is the habit that I'm trying to do, it's also means that I'm doing other things throughout the morning to get ready for that are kind of healthier habits and things like that.
Right. And I would venture to say that when you're out there running, whether you're listening to something or whether you're just thinking of something, you're kind of putting yourself mentally in a really good state. And so, and so when you finish that run mentally and physically, you're in a new state where like you now just are, I don't know, slightly better at doing different stuff.
Yeah,
or maybe just during that time you're thinking about whatever direction you want to take your life in. I mean, who knows what?
Yeah.
But that habit, I think, just pays so many dividends.
Sure.
Elsewhere. So to me, that makes a perfect anger habit. If for you, that's like your thing, you know, you love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I structure the work that I do before the run and after the run, if kind of the tedious stuff before the run, so that while I'm running, I can get the creative juices flowing and start, I don't know, getting inspired and thinking about more exciting things and more fun things, so that when I get home, I can immediately jump into those, you know, I can write. That's when I do my writing, or that's when I do the more creative work in the afternoon, because that run has kind of put me in this place that allows me to be, you know, ready for that kind of stuff in the afternoon.
This is a perfect example or a perfect time to bring up something that we haven't talked about on this podcast. I've written about it on a different blog that I was fooling around with for a little while.
Is it Habits?
No.
Okay.
No, I was writing a personal blog for me, and I'm hoping to kind of get something like that happening again in the new year, but I abandoned it after, I don't know, 6 posts or something. But anyway, I wrote a little something about it because I had been listening to Tim Ferriss's podcast. And on that podcast, my favorite episode there is he had Josh Waitzkin, who is the kid from the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer,
yep.
The kid that movie was based on,
okay.
The Chess Prodigy. But he talked a lot there about – Waitzkin has a book out called The Art of Learning, which is an interesting book if you haven't read it. But that podcast episode is, I would say, a must listen. Like if you're into this sort of habit change and creating, I don't know, engineering your day so that you're really effective, check that one out. What he says in there is pretty much what you just said, Doug, is that you should – they start with the example of like nighttime. And a lot of people have these insights overnight, like while their subconscious is working on something, because they've asked themselves a question at the end of the day, basically, either right before they go to bed or like at the end of the workday. And they stop consciously thinking about it and then doing other things so that they can just, you know, just be and not be focused on the answer to this question, and then wake up in the morning, do some sort of brain dump journaling or whatever it is that just pours out ideas. And that I have a habit actually that is very similar to that I'll talk about, but that you don't have to wait for overnight for this thing to be. You can set these things out throughout your day, where if you're going to be going for a run or if you're going to be meditating or whatever it is that you're doing that like is your thing and really puts you in your element, you can ask yourself a question just that needs an answer, whether it's related to work or family or relationships or whatever it is, then go do your thing. And then when you come back, rather than opening up your email first thing, as most people usually do when they sit down to work, is open email and just do what you need to do, doing some sort of, you know, pouring out of thoughts on paper. So like some little 10-minute journaling thing that you do where you just write down, who knows, you may just start with like what you were doing, what you thought about while you were in.
Mm-hmm.
But then very often, apparently, what happens is the answer to what you were wondering surfaces, and your mind kind of has created that for you. So they were saying you could create a schedule where you had four of these throughout the day. Where you had, you know, when, if you were going to take a lunch break, if you were going to do a running, if you were going to do whatever your breaks were, you could have this sort of little structure throughout your day. So I thought that was an interesting topic. Yeah. It's not something that I do actively or have had success with, but I think it's really neat and it's something I'd like to fool around with more.
Yeah. I mean, just, I feel like everybody growing up, or when you, I don't know, in school or something, if you're working on a paper and you get stuck, the teacher tells you to just like take a break for a second, you know, go to the bathroom or get some water or something like that. And I think that that is a mini version of kind of what you're saying, is it just separates you from it, lets the brain kind of relax, and then the more creative thoughts come in, and then when you sit back down, you might have a fresh look and a new approach to it, and new ideas. And
And I think when there's a physical component to the activity that you're doing, I think that's adding another dimension there. Because it's just, you know, Tony Robbins says emotion is created by motion. That, and a lot of people say that, not in those words, but that when you move your body, you there's this loop that, you know, your mind is connected to your body. So when you move your body, if you're depressed, they tell you to move, you know, just because you create these chemicals and whatever else in your body, and you just start thinking differently.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one. What I'll mention is, this is not necessarily a habit that, I don't know, that I would suggest as a first habit you change if you wanted to change a lot of stuff about your life. But I mentioned the idea of having some kind of brain dump in the morning, in addition to the other kind of dump that a lot of people take in the morning. Which is, sorry.
Too far, man.
It was too far. I'm going to stop saying brain dump, because I don't know why I just like go there. That's just what I think of. There's this program called The Artist Way, which is very common. A lot of people like it. Popular program. I have not done it all the way through at all. I think it's a 12-week program, but I'm planning to do it. I'm hoping to do it in January. I'm going to attempt to do it, I should say, in January, February, March. And it's just for doing more writing, doing more artistic, creative things. But one of the essential components of that, and this is something I did do for several weeks, I guess, maybe months, is this thing called morning pages, where every single morning, first thing when you wake up, you handwrite 3 pages of just whatever stream of consciousness, just out of your head, whatever you can pour onto the page. And what happens is you get a page and a half or 2 pages into it, and then you realize you have nothing else to write about. I mean, you just can't even think of anything to write about. So then any word that comes through your mind, you put it down on the page. And you're not producing anything that is valuable or coherent. It's just you're clearing out your brain of stuff. And apparently, according to Julia Cameron and a lot of people who really do recommend, I've heard a lot of people suggest this exercise, that they really like it. You're kind of just washing away all these blocks to your creativity, all this stuff that's bouncing around in your head. You're getting it out on the paper so that, you know, it's sort of satisfied. It doesn't have to bounce around in your head now because it's out. And I really like that. Like, to me, that was a meditation for a while. I felt the same way doing that and afterwards as I did with meditation.
Hmm.
One of the best things about it is that, as she says in The Artist Way, it's really hard to complain about. What happens, it turns out being a lot of childish complaints. Like, I hate this. I can't believe I have to do this. I'm so tired of this. You can't write that day after day after day without starting to do something about it, or like just feeling this really strong urge to do something about it. Instead of just when you're just keeping it in your head, I think we tend to just keep telling ourselves the same story, the same complaint we do in our head. But somehow when you're actually doing something physical about it and writing it down every single day, it just becomes more and more apparent that this thing absolutely has to change. And at least that's what I found. I found that I was tremendously motivated after each of those sessions to like do something that I was complaining about to fix it.
And are you supposed to go back and read them at all?
Or? I think they say after 8 weeks is like when you're able to do it.
Okay.
So if you feel like it, you can. But they tell you not to do it before that, or she tells you not to. And I don't really know the reason. I'm not sure what that's about. Maybe because it gets you, if you start sensing that these things that you're writing down are going to be reread and judged at some point, even if by you, then you're kind of it's going to make it harder to do them honestly the way they should be done.
Right. I think I would be tempted to then start creating lists of things they need to do, or, or writing a blog post or something like that.
Right. You know? And that's not the point.
Right.
But yeah. So that's a really cool exercise. It's called Morning Pages. Even if you don't do the whole Artist Way, I think she has a little course about it just called Morning Pages or something. I don't know. If you look it up as a book, it is a little cheap ebook that I read. So you can do that independent of the whole Artist Way program if that type of thing interests you. Similar, I think journaling is just a fantastic habit. It's one that I've never ever succeeded in keeping.
Me either.
I've tried. I've gone a few months before, but it's great. I mean, I think to just take a minute, look at like what you're doing, and just basically you're taking a step back, getting a little bit of perspective. Here's what I did yesterday, and there's so many different formats for it, and I've been successful when I try to go really short with the format. If I let myself just sit down and write, it'll take longer and longer each time. And then I'll be writing for half an hour journaling every day. And then I quit because it's taking up too much of my day.
Yeah.
So I've seen some little approaches where you just write like answers to three tiny questions, a variety of different options for those. But I think that's a really good habit. If you haven't ever done that or have a desire to do that. I really wish I had been doing that for the past 20 years. It'd be great to have a nice record of everything you've done. But I don't know. So I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. And it kind of takes me to one of my exercise habits, which is something that I wrote about a guest post for you just last week, which was to start tracking your training and keeping a training log. I think that it does the same thing just to keep the record and have that to look back on, to see what training has worked, what isn't. And then also to, in real time, be able to see where you're improving and where you're not. And if there are patterns that are arising that could potentially lead to injury, or things that, you know, that are working really well, you can then start incorporating those more in depth into your training. So I think keeping a training log is a really simple habit that most people, most runners don't do. And, but can be incredibly beneficial. But that training log can branch out to anything else. It could branch out to a food log or any sort of other habit that isn't, doesn't have to do with running, but you know, it's just another way to keep track of everything.
Yeah, I think that's a really great concept in general, is just tracking stuff. And I've heard people say that it works without often any conscious effort to change. The simple act of tracking whatever it is you want to change can make your body do differently. And the great example of this is from Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Body, where I forget the guy's name, but his goal was to lose something like, I don't know, I think 30 pounds or something. And he basically just set up an Excel sheet that had his current weight, had how long he planned for this weight loss to take, and then figured out how many pounds he had to lose per day. And it just ended up being some small number of ounces, very tiny amount. And he plotted a graph of how that would look, you know, how that weight loss would drop over the course of whatever he was trying to do, 60, 90 days, I don't know. And each day he would log in his new weight, his current weight. And he was really deliberate. He said, I'm not going to ever make a conscious change. I'm not going to like try to exercise. I'm not going to try to change my diet. He's not going to try not to either, but just, I'm not going to do things that make me lose weight. All I'm going to do is pay attention to what that weight is each day. And I'm going to see if I'm inside this, you know, little band. He put a little band around like what, around the graph. So like, I don't know how much, you know, a few ounces around where he should be that day. And he said, I'm just going to notice each day, am I inside this band where I should be if I want to lose this amount of weight? And the claim in the book, and it's there tracked, is that he lost this weight by just tracking. So like the theory is that your body subconsciously makes changes that, you know, who knows what they are, but maybe it was tiny amounts of food here and there that he wasn't eating.
Right.
So I think that's a fascinating thing. And like, it just, if you, a really simple example is if you had a bad habit, let's say you, I don't know, had negative thoughts in your head, or you, maybe every time, maybe you complained about your spouse in your head to yourself and you just wanted to quit that, or biting your nails, all these different things. You could carry around a tiny little notebook and just make a little tick mark every time you do that thing. So at the very least, what it's doing is causing you to notice that you've done something. So whenever you think a negative thought about your spouse, write down a check mark. And then you've taken this extra step like to not letting it just happen and then go by. You're actually noticing, saying, this happened, you know, mark it down.
Right.
And the theory goes that by doing this type of thing, you'll make improvements, really without trying very much. But if you add in trying, you know, you can make a lot more changes. So that's from, there's a book called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy that talks a lot about that particular strategy. And I don't know. I think it's cool. It's one I've experimented with some. I haven't had a ton of success with it, I wouldn't say. All those negative thoughts about my spouse are still happening all the time. No, that was not a real example, I swear. I'm pretty good about thinking negative thoughts. So anyway, that's just a cool idea. Tracking in general is good. Like you said, it relates to journaling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it just makes you get perspective. You step back from, you're at a new level when you step out of the current life and say just make an observation on it, basically by some form of tracking. It just makes you more aware. You make changes, and it's a great. I think it's a very, very, very easy habit to start doing.
Right.
So
right.
It's a great start. Okay. Similar to that, so I mentioned before that reading for the longest time had been my anchor habit. And this past year, I kind of changed that to running and listening to something. Mm. I sort of determined, I'm not like you in that, for me, running in itself is not a source of big fulfillment. Like achieving a race goal, that certainly is. Seeing progress, you know, the whole training process, that is a source of fulfillment. But going out for a run on a given day, especially if I haven't been running, isn't super exciting to me. You know, that's a chore, just something to do, takes time.
Yep.
But what I realized, sort of what I said to you earlier, was that running just, it changes you. It just makes, you know, you go to this really good mental space for a while.
Right.
And your body is different too, and you come back and you feel great. So I realized that when I actually go out for a run, it's not just this, as I've always thought of, this chore, this thing you have to do. It actually is an opportunity to go out and listen to something. Because I don't have a commute anymore. And I used to do a lot of listening to valuable stuff on a commute. But now that that's gone, I don't have that time anymore. The chance to just go listen to something that I think is valuable. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to, like, during a workday, find an hour to listen to something. I'm just not going to do it. And I can't very well listen to something and also try to work. I'm just not going to do one or the other.
Right.
But running, perfect opportunity to do that sort of thing. And as we've kind of said, it puts your... I just feel like I'm just in a state of being better able to learn from a podcast or an audiobook or whatever it is. But like, I'm more creative while I'm running. So if I'm listening to something, I'm not just probably absorbing it better, but I'm thinking about how can I use this in my own life.
Yeah.
And I just realized it was such a tremendously valuable activity, so that if I would miss that habit, I'd be missing out not just on the physical benefits, not just on the mental clarity and sort of meditative experience that running gives you, but also this opportunity to learn something really good and absorb it and create based on it. So like, it just became this super valuable habit that I just didn't want to miss. It was like, this is such a valuable part of my day.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I can only squeeze in 20 minutes of that, I mean, that's such a great habit to develop.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been perfect about doing it, unfortunately, but I was for a long time this year, and that's, I don't know, that's sort of where I want to get back to that with running pretty soon. But that's, I don't know, I think that's a fantastic habit. If you're kind of looking for inspiration to run, because what happened is one ended up reinforcing the other. So like, if I wasn't in the mood to run, I would still go do it because that was my only chance to get to listen to whatever podcast or whatever audio program I was excited about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that became the reason I got out the door, was just, I want to listen to this new thing.
And you got to do it if you went for the run.
Yeah. And similarly, if I just was having a tough time getting through some sort of audio program or whatever it was, the going out for the run, which, you know, hopefully I would be motivated to run, but on the day when I wasn't motivated to do this,
to listen,
it just keeps me going, getting through it. Yeah, because you're out there running anyway, might as well listen to this thing that you're on.
Right.
So I found that they really help each other out really well, and that's another one that, I don't know, if you're just kind of looking for inspiration or to breathe new life into your running habit, or like me, having this sort of goal of wanting to listen to more stuff and kind of,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, do more stuff, then it would work really well for that. So that's another one that I would suggest.
Yeah, I think that's dead on. If you have a habit that is feeding into another habit, especially if they're both beneficial and mutually beneficial, then that's really cool. So very nice. But that leads me to one of my habits that I have written down here, and that is to listen instead of watch, listen more instead of watch more. And I think that what I mean by that is instead of having the TV on while you're cooking or while you're just, you know, sitting around wrapping presents or something like that, instead have an audiobook or a podcast or something else that you're listening to on that you're in general, those things are, I don't know, less trashy than a lot of TV shows, might be more educational, will get the juices flowing a little bit better than some of the mindless TV that comes on. And I just find that after I'm done doing that, because I can multitask better when I'm listening to something than when I'm watching something, because you don't have to be focused on the TV. When I'm multitasking doing that, if I'm cooking or doing laundry or whatever it is, then I feel like I've gotten way more done, and I just feel better about the experience. I've had fun doing whatever it is that I was doing because I was listening to something enjoyable, and I got to learn and ingest this information from listening. So I've been doing that with them cooking when I'm cooking.
So is this like a resolution that you're have you already started this thing, or is this something you want to change in the new year?
Yeah, no, this is something that it probably consciously made this decision maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, that I would be listening to more things. I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was when the Christmas tree came up. We put our Christmas tree up in our living room, and Katie and I, instead of wanting to like sit down and watch a movie or something like that, we wanted to sit around the tree and didn't want to do it in front of the TV. So we're like, well, why don't we listen to something, you know, instead of watching something, so we could sit around and enjoy the tree. And that turned into, now, you know, we did it the other day when we were wrapping presents, and I do it when I'm having lunch now. If I take a break during work to have lunch, then I'll sit in the kitchen and eat my lunch and listen to something instead of watching something, which I never really did before, but now I've kind of added the listening side to it, just to separate me from the work a little bit better. So yeah, the past few weeks I've been incorporating this into you know, my activities.
And is there any sort of measurement to say, like, I mean, cause I'm always so bad at changing things when it's just like make a tiny change, like drink less coffee or something like that, or drink less beer. Like I am only ever successful if I limited like this many nights a week or this many mornings a week you can have coffee. If I just say less, you know, so I don't do well. But do you have anything like that, or is it just sort of like in general try to listen more, watch less?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I should say that I wasn't watching a ton of TV before, so it's not like I had to cut back from 5 hours of TV a day to, you know, to one or something like that. But yeah, I've been trying to never watch TV during the day, which is not a huge deal, but sometimes if I was curious about, I don't know, a clip on the late night show or something like that, I would end up turning on Hulu and watching several late night clips or something like that during the middle of the day. So never during the day. And then at night, we haven't said anything measurable, but there's been multiple nights when we're consciously deciding, okay, hey, do you want to watch a movie tonight, or do you want to listen to something?
Yeah. And what do you listen to when you do this?
Lots of podcasts. So this is another way to do it, is I've subscribed to a bunch of new podcasts and I'm trying to keep up with them. So, you know, now that I have 8 podcasts that are putting out weekly things, that's 8 things that I have to listen to every week or I'll get behind. So I've been listening to a couple different entrepreneurial podcasts, and then Serial podcast, which is a really popular one right now that people are talking about. And that's a story, it's a nonfiction, I guess, but it's kind of a entertaining murder mystery thing. You know, the ones we've talked about before, Radiolab, This American Life. But I'm also trying to get into audiobooks, which is something kind of new to me. I've done audiobooks before, just kind of one-offs, but I'm trying to make it, you know, because I don't take time to read every day, I would like to get more books done, read that way through audiobooks. So this holiday season, I'm trying to re-listen to Finding Ultra by Rich Roll. It's kind of a little motivational, inspirational thing for me going into the new year. So
cool.
So yeah, kind of starting that one.
Good. Like that. So I tend to always recommend a book. I happen to always recommend it around this time of year. I don't know why. Maybe people ask for more book recommendations. But I let's see. I think I wrote a post about it one time at New Year's, and then I mentioned it on the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast when I was on there. He asked me what book I'd recommend. And I think it's such a great New Year's book if you've never done personal development stuff before. It's Tony Robbins. I mean, of course, you got to get over the fact that it's Tony Robbins. I know not everyone, there's going to be a certain resistance there. But it's called Awaken the Giant Within. And it's a big, thick book. But the audiobook is actually where I tell people to start if they're not into this stuff, because it's like a 2-hour listen. It's not really hard to listen to. And, you know, he's a much better speaker than he is a writer.
Does he read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not really even reading. It's like he reads excerpts, but then he's kind of talking about other parts. But it's considered the audiobook version of that. And it's abridged, so it's much, much shorter. And, you know, he goes to like a little goal-setting process at the end of it, but talks a lot about changing habits, and not in quite the way that we are, but in a different way. And he's just, I don't know, he's like, reading Tony Robbins is one thing, but listening to him is so much better. He's just regardless of what you think about him or like guru, cult leader type, and I know that stuff gets thrown around a lot, but I feel like if you listen to him talk, it's just so hard to not be motivated by what he's saying. So yeah, the audiobook of that is one that I would highly recommend. If all this podcast and this, as we talk about these topics more, if that has gotten you more interested in personal development, but you don't really know where to begin with it, that's kind of a low commitment, easy way to start. It's, I don't know, $10, $15, and lasts for 2 hours. So like two runs, you can knock it out. And I don't know, it's just a good book.
Yeah, I find in general that with motivational books and self-help style books, when I'm reading them, I have trouble kind of following along and, well, I don't know, getting motivated by them. Sometimes the words come across as being cheesy, but if you listen to them, then it really is. You ingest it differently, and it can feel more motivational, and you're just getting more excited to actually go out there and do something instead of just
reading. I think you're right with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a good chance to mention this thing we're doing with Audible.com. If you go to nomadeathlete.com/free-book, you can get basically a free Audible account for a month and you get a free book. So any of these things we've mentioned, they're all audiobooks, of course. Any of these things that we've mentioned, if they have piqued your interest, then check this thing out and you'll get a book for free. I think pretty much everything we mentioned probably is listed there. But you can check that out and you'll be signed up for Audible for a month, and then it'll be up to you after that.
Yeah, well, but it's a way to also help us out because it's a partnership we're doing with
Audible.
Yes,
we should mention that. Yeah. This isn't just out of the goodness of our hearts that we're telling you to go get a free book.
Yeah,
it does help us out when you actually do sign up for the trial. So, both in the interest of disclosure and letting you know that you are helping us, that helps us to make more episodes and keep
this
cranking
going,
out.
Yeah.
So check that out. On that note, any other habits or books or anything else? Let's shift to, we have a few like just little habits that are, because this is kind of the other category, things that are really easy to implement, like without changing almost anything. And tracking, like sitting down and doing a running journal, that's a little bit of effort, but I would say that the thing of like whenever you do a bad habit, just make a little tick mark on a page in your pocket, that's basically a zero effort habit to implement, right? You just add this thing and it's simple. All you're doing is changing the way you do things.
Mm-hmm.
In that same category, I would put, and I've tried this a lot, is with coffee, replacing some of it with decaf, like just drink half-calf coffee instead of regular if you're going to Starbucks. Or if you're making it, I have a post on Nomad Athlete that I really liked a long time ago that was me putting random amounts of decaf beans and regular beans in plastic bags. And sometimes the bags would be half decaf, half whole caffeinated. Sometimes they'd be a quarter. And so I did all this, all these different proportions. Then I had Aaron mix them up so I didn't know which bag I was getting on a particular day. And the point was to prove to myself that I really couldn't tell if I was drinking half calf or quarter calf or three quarter or whatever it was. And it worked. I mean, it didn't make me stop drinking coffee.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell. And I, an hour later, I had no idea I drank decaf or regular.
Wow.
Now, if I had gotten full decaf 3 days in a row, I'm sure I would have had headaches. Like, it's not like mm-hmm. you're going to. But even then, who knows? Maybe some of the headaches are your brain's expecting it. Probably not, because you do notice them even if you're not expecting headaches. I think people still notice them. But
that's cool.
Anyway,
I hadn't read that post. That's kind of a fun idea. I like that.
Yeah,
idea.
But the point nowadays, the upshot of that for me is that if I'm drinking coffee every day and I get in one of those moods where I want to stop it, I know that if I just quit doing it, I'm going to have headaches for 3 or 4 days, and it's mm-hmm. miserable. And I can do it. I've done it plenty of times, but I'd rather just switch to half calf coffee or quarter calf coffee. And I found that you don't notice that much. Or really at all. I mean, if you actually know that you ordered that, then I think you sort of notice it more. But having proved to myself that I couldn't tell when I didn't know that it was that, it has made it a little more palatable, the idea of drinking half calf.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I feel like that's just a simple, like, you don't have to do any extra effort. It's not that you're giving up your coffee habit. You're not missing out on that warm drink in the morning. You're not even missing out on the caffeine buzz that you get, because you're still getting some of that.
Right.
So very, very simple thing to implement. And I've done a similar thing with beer, just trying to pick beers that are, instead of the 8% IPAs, pick the 4% session IPAs or stouts or something that is just lower mm-hmm. alcohol. And it's like, it's such a simple way to drink half the amount of alcohol you were drinking. Whereas if I told you drink half as much beer, like
right.
skip it half of the nights you normally would drink it, that's a big thing.
It's a tough one to do, yeah.
But I don't know. In the moment, like, there's not that. I know it's not the same. If you're a beer snob, this is going to sound like a terrible idea that you wouldn't want to just give up that great beer that you love. But I don't know. I feel like it's, like, it's just not that different. It's a little bit different, sure, to drink a lighter IPA than a big, heavy one. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just not that different. It's still beer. It still tastes like hops. Still tastes like beer. You still feel a little bit. So
right.
I don't know. I like things that are, like, just zero friction to implement.
Yeah.
And that's pretty close to one.
Yeah. The similar ones that I have are stacking. Like, you know, if I'm hanging out all day working or whatever, I tend to snack a lot. Every time I pass the kitchen, all of a sudden I think I'm hungry and I want to grab something. So we have all kinds of nuts and pita chips and, like, kind of snacks that are not necessarily all that good for you. Not terrible for you, but not great for you. So what I've been trying to do is put the fruit basket, fill it up as much as we can, get more fruit than I would have normally gotten, and put it in front of the snack drawer or cabinet so that I see that first and hopefully I can will myself to eat a banana instead of, you know, a couple handfuls of nuts or something like that. And if I know that I have all this fruit that's going to go bad, then I have more pressure to do that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm not eliminating snacks. I'm not trying to completely change and overhaul my diet, but just try to make that small choice to eat something a little healthier when I know I don't really need the food to begin with. And then, you know, if I'm not willing to eat the banana, then maybe I can tell myself to maybe you don't need the food because you're not that hungry.
Right.
You're not
willing to, yeah. Right. We did something kind of like that for our kids, which was just putting out.
Me and Holden have the same problems.
Right.
We struggle the same way.
You guys both can't control yourself. we just put out a fruit bowl and, like, some chopped up vegetables and hummus and I think some nuts too, just on the table, just all day long. We did it for a while. We're not doing it now, but on the table, there was always this thing there. So it would just get them to eat that stuff instead of wanting other stuff. And it was just holding back when we did this. But so that took some effort. Took effort to chop the vegetables and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if all we put in there was fruit, if it was just move the fruit bowl from where it is in the kitchen to the table,
right?
You know, maybe that would work as just by changing the environment. Just having that there makes you more likely to eat that instead of something else. So I like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So what else do we have? Any other zero friction, simple things to change?
Yeah, this one isn't really zero friction, although it kind of, it's pretty easy. One thing I would like to do in the future, this is something kind of a resolution for the new year for me, is when I pick Katie up from work, sometimes she gets done around 4 or 5 and every once or twice a week, we'll be like, hey, you want to just grab a beer? So we'll go walk down to the bar and have a beer. What I'd like to do instead is, because we have a great tea shop that's right next to the bar that we go to, is instead of getting alcohol, go there and get a decaf tea instead. And so kind of, you know, we're not replacing that time together. We're not saying we can't go out and enjoy ourselves for an hour. But just instead of getting the beer, going to the bar and get the beer, we're going to go to the tea shop and have some tea and do the exact same thing that we would have done in the bar, only drinking something different.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, like you said, is not zero friction to implement it. Like, the first day you do it, you're going to be like, I wish this was beer. This would be so much better. But it's one of the things where I think 3 weeks into it, you'll think it's so much better than the alternative. And you'll be like, why did we wait so long to start this? Like, this is so much better.
Right.
It just, and that's how a lot of habits are. Once you start them, it's just you have to get over that hump of where it's not that fun to get them started.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing I just thought of that's not related to that at all, but maybe only slightly, is... we always try to eat a big salad each day, and we were pretty successful at doing it. But I found a trick that works really well, and this really is zero friction, is when you're cooking meal, and I assume most people here are cooking, not everyone, but just start eating a huge salad then. Because the problem that we would have is we would want to eat a big salad, but we'd be cooking something that was really good and hot and smelled good. So that would put that on the table, and then we'd put salads out too, and... kind of like eat a few bites of the salad, but then eat most of the meal, and then maybe come back to the salad. But what we started doing is, when you're cooking, just have this huge salad done, because you're actually hungry then.
You're eating while you're cooking, right?
Yeah, eating while you're cooking, which, if you're trying to reduce calories, you know, maybe not the best thing to snack all day, but we're not really trying to do that. We just want to eat more of this, you know, more raw vegetables, more salad stuff,
right,
than heavier sort of processed, not processed, but just, you know, more calorically dense foods.
Right.
So we're just trying to eat just get more vegetables, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's no meal in front of you and you're cooking, a salad seems really good because, like, you're starving. And that's the only food that there is salad. Yeah. So it seems delicious. And then you can eat a gigantic salad over the course of whatever, half an hour or 40 minutes, whatever, however long you're cooking. And then you don't have to, you know, once the food's on the table, you don't have to wait. You don't have to try to eat the salad because you've already eaten it. So I have really liked that. That's worked really well.
That's
for us.
Great idea. I've never heard of that before. I think that's pretty cool. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. So that's another good one. If you just want to eat a little bit better, that's a way to do it without, you're not sacrificing anything because you get food when you wouldn't have had it otherwise at 4 o'clock or whenever you're cooking dinner. No, not everybody's old like we are. at 6 o'clock, whenever you're cooking dinner.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, okay, sorry. So anyway, that's a good one. Smoothie in the mornings, fantastic habit, I think, and one that's not hard at all to adopt, but not zero friction. If you've never done it before, then I understand that making a smoothie is effort because you need to get a blender and you need to figure out how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So good habit, though.
Yeah, I have, on that same kind of vein, I have... you know, a lot of our listeners probably do this, and I know that both of us do this, but a lot of people don't do it, and that is just when you're making dinner, make enough for lunch the next day so you have leftovers for lunch. You don't have to waste the time to cook, or if you're at an office, you don't have to go out and buy food, or in the morning, you don't have to, I don't know, make sandwiches for lunch and that kind of thing. So you're having a better meal, a healthier meal, and, you know, it's more enjoyable if you can make just a little bit extra than you package up and take away for lunch.
Right. Good. And I guess, I mean, we always assume that everyone listening is vegetarian or vegan, but if you're not and you want to become that or try it out, then do a really small change. Like, just, I don't know, use the new year as a time to say, okay, I'm going to actually try to implement something. And maybe for you that is the meatless Mondays, that Monday you're not going to eat. Yeah, like, it doesn't need to be, I'm going to go totally vegetarian now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that just, people try it and it doesn't last. Some people make it last, but I think in general, you're better getting there slowly. And just making a change like that, it doesn't have to be Monday. Just any day that works for you, make that your vegetarian or your healthy day.
Yeah.
Or do the fewer legs approach that I did. So stop eating four-legged animals for a while. And just, you know, you can still go out to eat. You can still go to friends' houses. It's not weird. You're still eating meat. It doesn't feel hard at all. It's just a slightly more limited choices.
Right.
So if you're, I don't know, if there's plenty of resources on nomadathlete.com about how to make that happen. But I don't know. It's as good a time as any to try it if you haven't before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I have a bunch more habits that I just would like my ideal self to be doing all the time, but I don't want to go into them all. I mean, it's just too many. They're not really in any sort of theme or anything. So we will leave those for another date. Do you have anything else, Doug? Any more burning habits that you just must tell our listeners about?
Well, actually, I've gotten asked by a few different people who listen. We've mentioned a few times that I'm going to try to, my wife and I are trying to get more engaged with the community, our new community.
Mm-hmm.
And asked how we're going to go about doing that. And I mentioned a few of those ways, but one thing that kind of anchor habit that would be brought on, that I would be implementing there, would be just saying yes to more things within the community. If I see a flyer for an event that, you know, maybe catches my attention, maybe doesn't, you know, but just going to try it out, chances are it'll be free or inexpensive and there'll be people there who are interesting and, you know, I could meet somebody. So saying yes to just more events and more things around town and more invitations and just kind of putting myself out there. And that's such a simple thing to do, to just decide, all right, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you decide to do it, you know, you can always back out. But once you decide to do it there, you know, chances are you're much more likely to do it.
So. Which is a good reason a lot of people also like the habit of saying no to more things.
Yeah.
That's a common thing.
Yeah, you
learn to say no. So you say yes, it's different. But the reason is because once, you know, you give that default answer, then all of a sudden that's what you're doing or not doing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take much effort to say yes at all. Mm-hmm. So if your goal is to lock yourself into more stuff, make you more likely to do it, then just start by saying yes and then make yourself have to cancel if you're not going to do it.
That's right.
So cool. Good. All right. Well, we've mentioned a lot of stuff, a lot of books. As far as, you know, how to proceed, the first thing I would say is don't try to do all of this. Like, even if five of these things sounded exciting to you, as hard as it is to resist, I would not try to do five of them. I really, if it were up to me and I could control your behavior, I would say choose one, please. Choose one thing, do it, and like, I don't know, make yourself go a month probably and with it, and just, you know, master it. Don't miss during that month. Do it every single day if that's your plan. Start extremely small. Like I said, with meditation, I started with 2 minutes, and then that actually worked and lasted. It was the only time I ever got myself to actually meditate for who knows how long it was, months in a row. So start small and just pick one. I know people are going to want to pick two. If you must pick two, combine them. I think it's like the running and listening thing. Like combine complementary ones that reinforce each other rather than creating two new separate things, because it's going to be easy when you start, but 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, you're going to have a day where it's just like all this other stuff's going on, and it would be so easy not to do your habit that day. And first of all, starting small kind of prevents that perfectionist attitude where like if you miss that one day, suddenly the whole habit is ruined and you're just done. You give up. You don't want that.
Right.
And starting small will help you counteract that, just because it doesn't have the same feel. When you're meditating for 2 minutes, then 4 minutes, then 5 minutes, if you miss one, it doesn't feel like the end of the world. It just feels like you did 0 minutes that day. But having two things, I don't know. It just gets to be too much. Like as easy as these seem now because they're exciting, at some point they're not going to be so exciting and there's going to be other stuff going on. So having just one thing you need to do is vastly different from having two things you need to do. I know it doesn't sound that different, but when it's just one thing you need to get done, you often find a way to get it done. So start with one. Don't try to do all these. And I don't know. What I've done often is when I do create a big list of habits, I set out a schedule for myself. Like that sort of satisfies the side of me that wants to try to tackle all these things and try to convince myself that I can do this all and have just this amazing willpower. So like if I had 10 new habits that I want to start, I would pick one for January, pick one for February, and just go down the list and pick one for every single month so that you actually can, like, I don't know, in some way you're satisfied that, like, even though I'm not starting this reading habit now, I know that February is when that will have its time. Mm-hmm. So that has helped me a lot. So put them on a list.
You know who did a new habit every month?
Yes, I do. We're not going to say his name.
Or his blog.
Because we already said it.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, this is great, Matt. Thanks for...
This has been good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I love New Year's. Good time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Don't forget to call in if you have any questions.
Yes. Call in. Just like Linda, you too could have your voice on the airwaves of NMA Radio.
You could ask us anything you want, and I'll make sure that Matt answers it. Right. 951 no meat 1.
All right. Good. Call it. One more episode this year, and then we'll be starting new in 2015 with a whole bunch more, and looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for listening.